Amen. Good morning. Jesus, there's no greater testimony than that, right? And it is testimony day. And I just felt like when we were worshiping that the Lord was just speaking to my heart that he is not done yet. And I believe that there's deliverance for some of you in this room today still. So don't just think that he is done and you're just sitting here listening and there's nothing else for you. I think some of us are in need this morning. I came in here this morning with a migraine and I wasn't feeling very well. And the power of worship, the power of praise, and the power of Jesus' name, I no longer feel that right now. So praise God. And I just want to ask for some of you that are in this room, if you maybe feel tired and worn out, or maybe you have that same headache going on, I just want you to slip up your hand real quick because I want to pray for you. So many of us. Well, Father, I just want to pray over these women. You see them. You know them. You know me. You saw me. And you see that how we can be just so disheartened and heavy, and we need refreshment. We need your strength. Father, I pray that you would strengthen these women by the power of your spirit. I pray that you would fill them up right now. I pray that you would help them to feel better. I pray that you would take away any distractions. I pray that you would take away any migraines, any headaches, any anything that is distracting them with their bodies physically. Help them to overcome, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit and by the name of Jesus, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, ladies, there are many of you who want to share this morning. And again, this is a powerful day because you sharing what God has done in your life this semester and how you have chosen to do something, to obey his word, to obey something that he has taught you, is going to impact somebody else in this room who needs to be delivered and who needs help. So I want to ask that some of you have signed up, I want to just ask that you would come and just start lining up over here on the side of the stage, and I'll call you up and I'll be with you and you will not be alone. And again, just remember that God is glorified through these things and he will use you. And we have to limit your time, okay? So we can't take your whole story. And I know that everybody has just such a powerful story from when they were really young and up to now, but we can't take it all. We would love to, but we can't, just because of time restraints, okay? So if I have to just nicely and gently interrupt you, that's what I have to do, and I'll just hold the mic. I'm not going to give you the mic, just so I can kind of control that a little bit better. Not to be rude to you, but just we want to be respectful to everybody and allow more ladies to share. And even if you did not sign up today, that's okay. If the Lord put something on your heart as you are sitting in this room and something comes to mind, we just want to ask that you come and you stand in this line, and we're going to bring you up and you're going to share what he has taught you and what, again, you have chosen to do and how God has worked in your life and changed your life. So as the band just continues to play a little bit behind, why don't you go ahead and start coming up. This is Nancy.
I have a testimony this morning from Brenda Roybal. She's having surgery on her hand as we speak, and she wanted me to read this for her. What she didn't say, and I know she won't mind me telling you, is 30 years ago she was delivered from drugs and has been clean and sober ever since. A lovely lady with amazing faith. So she said, "What I have learned in this Bible study is that I need to put God first in everything, not just some things and not others. I thought of the parable of the wheat and the tares. I'm not giving him my all, and I was letting weeds grow in certain areas of my life. One Sunday, the lesson was about giving. The Lord brought it to my attention that I wasn't trusting Him in all things. I'm on Social Security and what my husband earns, so I gave what I thought we could afford. After that teaching, I knew what I had to do. I had to give Him my finances as well. I had to trust Him. I bit my tongue and started to give at least 10% of all the money that comes in. That first time I walked out of church with this kind of peace, I can't explain the feeling that came over me, but I knew everything would be okay. It was like God took all that worry away from me. I can see the difference in my life. We have money to meet all our needs. I do not expect anything back from God. He gave His Son for me and for everyone else, so I cannot ask for anything more. Since I have been tithing the way I'm supposed to, I have such a peace over me. I never knew I could feel that way, and I don't want this feeling to ever go away. God is good, and He is first. He blesses me every day. He is first for me, first in my life. He has given me new friends who are believers, and now He is using me to serve. Praise God for all He has done.
Amen.
Let's stay right here for a second.
Amen. Praise God. Has anybody, I just want to ask if anybody identifies with Brenda and maybe that you need to be delivered in the area of finances. Maybe you need to surrender in an area that you haven't surrendered in finances. Maybe it's you need to learn how to give the tithe first and foremost to God, or maybe it's that you need to learn. Maybe the Lord has placed on your heart to give above and beyond and to be generous, but you're kind of afraid to do that because you see what you have and you're kind of convicted like to give maybe to someone or something specifically, but you're hesitant and maybe God's calling you to do that. So if anybody needs to surrender their finances like Brenda and see God's faithfulness in that, why don't you raise up your hand and we're going to pray for you. Praise God. So let's pray. Nancy, you want to pray for these ladies?
Heavenly Father, I just ask that you touch the hearts of these sweet ladies who've raised up their hands, and maybe even those who've thought about it but didn't want to raise up their hand, and that's okay. But we pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength and see us through. We know that you will. Father, you will take care of us no matter what. And we know, dear Lord, that we cannot outgive you. Whatever we give to you, you give back to us 10 times more. We just thank you so much that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. This is Tina and her moderator supporting her over here.
Who am I in these parables? I am the person who the enemy sought out while I slept and became lazy in the Lord. I am a person who let Satan snatch away what God had planted. I am a person who was a weed planted in the wheat. I am a person who was a worshiper, but not worshiping. I am a person who is afraid to be bold about spreading the gospel and who is afraid to step out of my comfort zone to use the gifts God has given me. I am a hypocrite. I am a person who lived a double life for 5.5 years. I am a person who has let my discontentment rule my life, which led me to being an unfaithful wife. I am the bridesmaid with no oil in her lamp, but now my lamp is full. I am the lost sheep that Jesus left the 99 for, rescuing me, loving me, picking me up, bringing me back to him. I am the lost coin which is now found, and I know my sins have been swept away. I am the lost daughter, and I let sin own me. I am someone who worshiped a person and made that person my idol. I am the person who loved who the Lord welcomed back and covered me with his loving arms. I am the person in Psalm 77:1 through 3, which says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and when I would not be comforted, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. I am a person who God changed my circumstances because I was not strong enough to do it on my own. I am still healing and learning through God's word. I stand convicted. I am these things, but I have been saved and restored by the great I am.
Amen. So good. So good. Yes. How many of us can agree and attest to that? How many of you have been the lost and have been found? Have been the one who has felt just dry and been filled up with the oil of God? Been filled up with the joy of his spirit? Have been found to lay there in your bed and just meditate on his word on a psalm like this, like Tina? And there might be some of you in here today who need to know the importance of who you are, saved and redeemed and restored. You need to be restored. If you are the 99, the one, I rather, that the Lord is wanting to call back home. If you are in here and you need to come back home, please do so. And please do not be ashamed. Just slip up your hand, and it's not to embarrass you. We want to pray for you. We're all in this together, and this journey is not, praise you. Thank you for raising your hand. This journey is not of embarrassment. It's not so that we can walk alone. We need each other, you guys. We really do. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you. Let's pray for the ones in here. Father, we thank you that, thank you for what you've shown Tina. Thank you that she says that she can see herself in really all the parables and what she was reading. Thank you that your word gives us insight and shows us a revelation of who we are. And Father, I just thank you that we have all at some time or another gone astray. But you are so gracious, so good. You are such a good, good Father. And you go after the one. You see the one. You know the number of hairs on our head. You call us the apple of your eye, and you see us as your beloved. And there are women in here this morning, and some raised their hand a moment ago, who are the one who need to return back to your loving arms. And you spoke to my heart, Holy Spirit, that you were going to deliver some this morning, and this is happening right now. So I just ask that. Your arms are already open. They're already open. They've been open, and you've been waiting for them to return. So I just pray that you would help them to receive it. I pray that they would stop listening to the lies. I pray that they would just fall into your arms, and they would just find rest for their souls. I pray that you would speak promises into their lives, and that they would just be entrapped by your love and your beauty, and they would be in your word, meditating on your promises, and like this psalm that Tina read to us, Father, and that you would just speak ever so lovingly to them. Tell them how much they're loved, God. We need you, and we thank you that you are a God, you are a Father who goes after the one. Praise you. Renew these lives in here today. Restore your girls. Thank you that we're your girls. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
You ladies can continue to come and line up if you feel the need. And I'm just going to read something just real quick before you come up. There's a couple people who wrote in that that were either too shy to read, or some of these are from the evening as well. But there's a few that have just written in about that they felt really distant from God's love, and that how this Bible study has drawn them closer into Him and in His love for them, and that they're just thankful for the group leaders who have been transparent with their struggles. So shout out to the moderators. Thank you for your transparency. Thank you for the transparency of the people in those groups, because you are helping to bring people to God and that they can see the love of Jesus in you. So thank you for that. Hi. What's your name? Patricia. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are indeed awesome, Father, to me. You have brought me and planted me here where I can find inclusiveness and faithfulness in your word preached. I am grateful, Father, for your love. I'm grateful that you hold my hand always, and I'm so grateful for all these, your daughters, that you love, Father, that you embrace, and that you have here today.
That's right.
Because you love them so much. Thank you, Father, for all things, especially for your death on the cross for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the penalty that you paid for me. And thank you that I will always depend and know that you love me. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. He is awesome in this place. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read you another one until you guys be brave. In a parable of the unforgiving servant, Lunya spoke about the importance of us forgiving like the Father. She ended her message by saying, "If you're here today with unforgiveness in your heart, honestly, I'm scared for you. It means that you're not enjoying God." I was immediately convicted and went to where a lady prayed over me to forgive my mom for being an alcoholic. The next time I saw my mom, I apologize for treating her with disrespect and dishonor over the past several years. Then I forgave her for being an alcoholic. We had a long conversation, but the change in our relationship was immediate. I now look at my mom with love in my heart instead of with disappointment and disgust. That is powerful. That is powerful. I think it's hard, you know, to forgive people sometimes, because we just so look at the outward, you know, we look at their flesh and what they're doing, and it's impacting us, or maybe impacting our children, maybe grandchildren, and it's super hard because all we see is the offense, and maybe we don't see the person. So if you are seeing the offense of somebody in your life, even maybe somebody close to you like a mother this morning, and you're having a hard time forgiving, let's pray for that. Just raise your hand if that's you. And we're going to pray in agreement and ask God to help us and deliver us and give us forgiving hearts. Thank you. Father, thank you that you forgave us. Thank you that, oh gosh, Father, we did the worst of the worst. I know I did the worst of the worst in my record of myself, my record of wrongs. And thank you that you delivered me. Thank you that you delivered us in this room. You forgave us, and you sent your son to die on a cross and to be sacrificed, to be killed to be crucified for us while we were still in our sin. Unbelievable. But yet we think we have the right, Father, to look at people and to look at what they're doing and to look at maybe they're alcoholics like this girl who wrote in, or maybe they're with drug abuse, maybe they're even with people who are in unequally yoked relationships. Maybe they're believers, but they're seeing people or living with people who are not believers, Father. So we look and we place judgment on people. And we think so much about ourselves, like, you know, that's impacting me and my life. And we don't want to forgive people. We start holding bitterness and anger and resentment in our hearts. And I just pray, Father, that that would not be us. We need to learn how to be controlled by your Spirit. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we just thank you that it is a promise that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Father, teach us how to operate in your Spirit and to be controlled by your Spirit and to stop being so selfish and to start doing what you have called us to do, which is to forgive. Your word says that if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive. Help us to love. Help us to see the people and to love and to deny ourselves and set ourselves aside. Help us to do that today, because for most of us, we're going to encounter this today. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be controlled by you. We need you. We love you. Help us to be forgiving women of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Your name? Lori? Lori. Okay, Lori.
Well, I wasn't expecting to do this, but I have been in a 30-year marriage, unequally yoked, but I fell in love, and I loved him, and I was faithful, and the last few years we've had some troubles, a lot of troubles, and so January was, he called me on the phone and said, I'm getting an apartment, I need space, that I was bitter, which I was, and February 4th, Skip, I went to the altar and gave that part up. But my bitterness, I thought it was my fault. I thought everything was my fault. I was told throughout the years that I was crazy and all these things, you know, and I believed it. And then my husband left for 2.5 months. And he wanted me to come home. He wanted to come home again. And I said, of course, you know, you can come home. And I'm trying to make this short. But he disclosed some rather disturbing things. I always knew he liked pornographic. I always knew he liked it. I've, through the years, struggled with it. I'm shaking. I struggled with that, and he knew I didn't like it, and he said, you're crazy that I'm sexually oppressed and that everybody likes porn. Men love porn. That's what they do. And I would be jealous, and we would walk in a restaurant, and he was the one that, you know, I was a pretty girl when I was young, and when I'd walk in the room with him, the guys, the men folk would look up and take notice, but the ones that love their wives looked back at their wives and gave them the attention they deserved and the respect that they deserved, but mine wasn't. He was the one that kept staring and kept, and I would just say, did you get a good enough look at her? You know, I said a few choice words, and he says, you're crazy, and that's called gaslighting. I learned this year. But when he came back, I said, I need to know what's been going on, because there's a gut feeling that I have. And he's been cheating on me and having affairs throughout our 30-year marriage, pockets. One person said to me the other day, she said, well, he hasn't cheated on you your whole marriage, has he? I said, well, probably not every day, but pockets where he would get satisfied by someone, or affairs throughout the, you know, marriage. And I learned all this stuff, and websites and hookup sites, and it's been hard, but I went to the altar with bitterness, because I became a hater. I would, you know, it starts with a B. I was not happy. everything he did, I just started hating on him and had contempt for him. Over the years, it built up. And February 4th, Skip talked about bitterness. And some lady named Darlene, I don't know where she is, but she took me back there and prayed for me. And I released that. I learned about John and what he's done. And all I've had all year is this porn movie is going through my head and what he's done and the things that he did. And this last affair was at least 3 years that right under my nose. I cooked for him. He came home, you know. And so he came home and he's been home for the last 7 months. And I was in it to win it, but he wasn't. So 5 Mondays ago, I told him, I said, I don't think this is going to work. I tried my best. Lord knows I tried. And the next day, I filed for divorce when he went to work. And we're in the process now. This month's a big month for us. I would expect it to be I'd have never been through anything like this, but we're gonna have this end. And I pray for him every day that the Lord will get him, break that man, break him, you know. And when you're in an unequally yoked marriage, we're the ones that make all the concessions, you know. And I've strayed away and back and forth. I've always loved Jesus, but I just want you to pray for him. Pray for me too, but I've already got strength. My she group this whole year has been amazing for me. And Helen, thank you. And all of you guys, thank you. I just love all you ladies. And that's, you guys got me through, and Jesus Christ got me through. And I can do all things in Christ that's in me. And I'm feeling so much joy right now, even though I'm kind of crying. So that's it.
Amen.
Thank
you for sharing. No, thank you for sharing. God is good, and somehow he gets us through the tough and the things that are not beautiful and the things that we don't want to walk through. And we're going to pray for Lori. We're going to pray for her husband right now. And we're going to pray for you. If you need us to maybe pray for a spouse, maybe you are in an unequally yoked relationship, or you're praying for that person that we need to bring to Jesus. Why don't you raise your hand real quick so Lori can see that we are praying. We're all praying together. Look at these women that they need prayer as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Lori having the courage to come up here and share. Thank you that you see her. And just like we prayed a moment ago, that you see the one. And you're just such an amazing God like that. And thank you that you not only see her standing up here, but you see her husband. And you see the men in the lives of the women who just raised their hands, even the ones who didn't raise their hands, Father. We all need you. That's what we all have in common. All of our men need you. And I just pray, Father, that you would bring these men home. I pray that you would, it is your will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So I pray that that would happen. We pray for salvation. I pray that you would surround these men with godly people, with godly men, and that they would be so attracted to the Holy Spirit that's in the men, and they would want to know how to be saved. They would ask the questions. They would be drawn to you, Father, that you would change lives. Grab a hold of these men. Many of these women have been praying for years. And I just pray that you would grab a hold of these men, that you would use them to impact then future generations, their children, their people they work with, their sphere of influence, Lord. Blow us away. Do mighty miracles. Let us come back next Bible study semester and share stories about how you saved men and you changed lives. We love you. We believe in you for salvation. You alone can do it. You alone can change the heart of a man. Your word says that the heart of a man is in your hand. And like rivers of water, you move it wherever you wish. So I just pray that you would stir up the hearts, Father. Draw them to you even right now as we're praying.
We love you, and we ask in Jesus' name. And Father, please also just strengthen Lori and women like her that are sitting in this room. Strengthen them, fill them with your joy, your peace. Help them to put one foot in front of the other and show them the next step moment by moment. Help them to dive into your word and into worship and to not give up and to not fall into the ways of the world when it gets tough. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Monique.
I just wanted to say that the study of the parables of Jesus was just so impactful, and I really was contemplating the coin and the sheep and the crescendo to the prodigal son and how truly Jesus does see the lost things. And just wanted to share that my grandson went in complete respiratory failure this recently, and God truly saw him and miraculously redeemed his life. He's not brain injured, and he was in complete respiratory failure in his bathroom floor. And the Lord rescued him. And I just wanted to thank the many ladies in my group that prayed. And just God truly is. You know, in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And he sees each one of you. He's God Elroy. And truly, he answered my prayers, and he wants to answer yours.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. He does hear our prayers, and he answers our prayers. So don't give up. Do not stop praying. Do not stop praying, right? Amen. Thank you, Monique. Are you coming up here? Okay. Are you okay to walk up, or do you need me to walk down? Oh, okay. Security guards. Okay, be careful. No. Okay, this will probably be our last one, and then we have some announcements to share before we dismiss. You good? Get some exercise. Hi.
Well, I wasn't planning to do this, but I got to give God the glory.
Do it.
Thank you, Tamara. She's my security guard.
Personal.
In our small group. I had a work-related fall in August. I didn't realize that time away from work was going to free me up to take care of my mother. She went into what we call a very rapid AFib. Her heart was beating out of control. She's 94. She has served the Lord since she was 5 years old, and she's just a pillar in the family. And so I went to Tucson, and I stayed with her inpatient. I went home with her to Lordsburg, where she lives, and helped the whole family teach how to take care of her. And while I was there, the Lord kept waking me up at different hours of the night, and I would open up the parables, and God would show me something new every time, because it wasn't just my mom. One of my sisters became mentally ill, and my brother-in-law had a massive heart attack all in that time that I was there. My husband would come down and he'd help me, and I was there for 6 weeks ministering, praying, just spiritual warfare. Every night somebody would come to my mom's house and sit on the hot seat, and I'd be praying and ministering to them, and the Lord would wake me up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning and say, come dwell with me, come here. And I would have that time. This semester, the parables of Jesus, the secrets that he revealed to us, prophecy being fulfilled, coming out of his mouth, heaven clothed in flesh, teaching us the secrets of life. It blew my mind. Thank you, Lord, for the parables. Thank you for teachers, moderators, prayer warriors, small groups that strengthen one another. Continue on, because you could be next to get sent out When you least expect it, the Lord is going to equip you for a time like this. This is not a game. This is real life, right? Because we're getting equipped every time we come together. We strengthen one another. We fortify our walls. And I thank the Lord for all that make this work. Everybody in the background, those that we don't even know, that are out there helping strengthen this ministry. It's a real thing. It's a real fight. Thank you. Thank you, Zanetta. Thank you, Lenya. I don't know where they're at today, but thank you, all of you. All of you.
Thank you. That's a good word of exhortation right there. That's a good word, and that's a good word for us to kind of, when we dismiss from here in a few minutes, to take out of here and remember heaven come down in flesh, like you said, and taught us secrets, you guys, that we can know what to do right now and how to live right now. Unbelievable. How could we not just hunger for more of God's word and want to know and want to be changed by him and want to be closer to him and want to just wake up and get in his word first thing and just want to be used by him? And you're right. God is equipping us through these Bible studies. If we come to church on the weekends, you know, God is equipping us on those mornings that we're waking up and we're tired to get in his word, and we do it anyway, because you don't know what's going to happen, what kind of trials or things are going to come in your life where you're going to need that word of God just so deep down rooted in you that you can, you know, it just comes out from deep within there to come out, to strengthen you, to help you. So do it, right? Right? Don't give up. So we love you, ladies. We just love you. We get excited to see you each week. And thank you so much for sharing.